guys like Champ, coach, just tucked on, got one goal. Champ's going to have a coordinator again. Same guy he had.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, that's
Champ is actually rare right now. And it shouldn't be, but it is.
Well, that's why I keep saying, I mean, I don't use individual players as much, but, you know, the idea that we've, you know, kind of developed some, or did some good things a year ago, really in the first year, both sides of the ball. You know, I mean, I made some of the same coaches offensively, but our offense changed dramatically from the year before. And then defensively, we came in with a whole different coordinator and just teaching those things and guys understanding the philosophy and, you know, trying to play fast. You know, you do better with that the more understanding you have of it. And, you know, I think we're building that, whether it's Champ or, you know, it doesn't matter who it is.
Take a whole year, but once you get that year behind you, mm-hmm. then it's back and forth, like you say.
Well, you grow it, you build it, you can do more. You know what I mean? It's you know, you don't put it all in at once because guys can't learn it. So you have to, you know, pick and choose things you have a comfort zone with, and then execute those things. And you know, a part of that is just knowing your players. Your players knowing your coaches, and that, you know, it takes time. And so I think year two will be a lot better than year one.
How important was it to get a guy like Camardi on the other side of the champion?
You know, every year, you know, in the off season, you make acquisitions, whether it's in free agency or in the draft. And you know, I don't know, I coached college football for a lot of years, and everybody wanted to talk about, you know, recruiting classes. And, you know, I don't think you immediately know, other than on paper. You don't know on the field yet, but there's people that, of course, will make all kinds of speculations on paper. But, you know, I haven't won too many games on paper. You know, otherwise, we just go around writing down scores. But, I mean, if they would let me, I would do it. And that we'd have always have more than they did. All right? Like, that might be the unfair part of it. But, you know, so you just don't know. I mean, that's not knocking any of them, but, you know, there's no question that DRC has great ability, and it's our job to get the most of it out of them, you know, just like, you know, anybody that had him before. So, you know, we'll see how that goes, how hard he's willing to work and, you know, adapt to what we're teaching. Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I did him coming out. You know, he's only been in the league. I think he's going into his fifth season. You know, but he was a tremendous talent. I mean, you know, I don't think there'd be many arguments with people in free agency that didn't say maybe he has the highest skill set. You know, and I'm not knocking anybody else, but you know, the ability's there, and now it's just a matter of you know, developing the skills it takes to win in this league.
When you signed a lot of these guys, you got 27 years old. Is that important?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think anytime you're, you know, developing players, you know, that's why it's good to draft well, because now you get to develop your own. And so you're hopefully to get a lot of your draft picks to the second contract, because now they know, you know, in our case, the Bronco way. I mean, they know what we expect. They know on and off the field. I mean, you know, you kind of ingrain them in your culture. And those are really your core guys, ideally, you know, done hopefully well, right and well. You know, that's what we're trying to develop. So yeah, the fact that maybe it didn't work out for a guy, or maybe he didn't meet the whatever, but to get a guy kind of fresh into that, I don't know, I always thought it's been advantageous.
The market doesn't always allow you to get those 27 and 28-year-olds.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's like anything else, you know, I call it like a store with no price tags every year, you know, and that's kind of free agency. You know, you get to look at them, you know who free agents are, but when you start looking at them, you don't know the price tag yet. You know, and this year, for whatever reason, you know, the market was decent.
Yeah. For you.
I can't explain it. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
This is when you've got a franchise quarterback
Right. I've never experienced that before, but there is a lot of truth to that. All right. That, you know, that guy is going to be, you know, I'm just going to round it off, a $20 million guy, and that's a big part of it. But now, if you ask me whether I'd want that or not want that, I'd much rather want that, you know, just for the record. But, you know, some teams are getting the advantage of having a young quarterback. Maybe they hasn't reached that yet. Back to what we were talking about before about personnel. You know, earlier in their career, they might, you know, be as big an impact on the cap as they do once they've gotten paid like that stardom that they've earned. But there's a lot of teams that have been doing it and been doing it for some time and doing it very successfully.
But you have to pass on, you know, like you said, you see free agents. You know, you might want to help them, but you've got to pass on that.
Like I said, I've done it both ways. I've had the $20 million guy and not had the $20 million guy. The $20 million is worth it. I mean, I just want to make that point. Yeah, yeah.
Can I get three quick ones in?
Yes, okay? Yes, sure, sure.
Thank you.
See, they, you know, they succumb to it. They don't care. You know what I mean? Just like us as coaches.
John, when you look at Wes Welker and adding him to your offense with the skills he brings, how much is that going to help?
You know, I think, yeah, just having played defense against him so many times, he's definitely a tough matchup. And, you know, I've not been fortunate enough to be able to put a single guy on him, so we've always had to do little things to help in the coverage. And I think that can't help but, you know, help other guys, receivers on the field, whether it's Demaryius Thomas, you know, or Eric Decker.
The Elvis Dumervil situation certainly is unique, perhaps, as any we've seen in free agency. Where does your organization go forward now, either with him or in terms of filling that role, because it's so important for you?
Well, he's a guy, obviously, we like. I mean, he's played good football for us. You know, he's a defensive captain. He's a guy that, you know, we like as a player. It's just unfortunate. We've been through the timeline. It's unfortunate, you know, those crazy things happen. But, you know, we're kind of regrouped, and, you know, we've got different options now. And, you know, we're looking at all those options, and he's one of them.
Year two with Peyton, we talked about Welker. This organization certainly has a chance to do great things. You were so close last year. What's it going to take, and how optimistic are you? I know it's only March, but we can look ahead, can't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think everybody's got a fire in their belly for the way, you know, from the way that game ended a year ago. And, you know, that should be great motivation for us moving into the offseason. And, you know, these things aren't won in March, and so we're going to have a lot of hard work ahead of us. And I think our team's ready for the challenge.
Thank you.
All right, you got it. You got it, Ken. Thank you, babe.
Thanks,
Kip.
Thank you. Got a little frog in my throat there.
Sounded good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what else?
What else? You're liking all the competition committee do proposed rules?
I don't know if like's the right word, but I don't hate any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty strong for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think ideally, you know, but the good thing is he's played all three. So,
hey, this middle's kind of a situational guy now.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like what, you know, the old, you know, yeah.
Glamour position. Now it's the 15%
one that comes out.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I would say less than that.
I mean, like I said, the linebackers have changed a lot. You know, over at least the last 15 years, as far as what you're looking for, how fast they got to be. A lot smaller and faster is what they've become.
Well, I always think when you made Davis, he was a safety in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And you made him a linebacker.
Hey, true.
And we're like that now. I mean, you know, Bond, Wesley Woodyard.
Okay, because you had an eight. I got you.
Yeah, you know, Woody was just a little special teams guy. You know what I mean? Now,
he's a goody player.
Oh, no, I love him. He plays hard.
I got Mark and Bongo. I'll just coordinate it for you.
Mark and Bongo. You got epic.
He's had a
production from him last year in terms of tackles for loss and all those things. But how far can the guy go?
Yeah, I think he'll just get better. I mean, he improved from year one to year two. I mean, he had a great rookie year. You know, he was a rookie sack. It wasn't a ripped ligament. I mean, it's not fair to say, but I'm just telling you, I know he would have.
I covered the first season.
So, this guy is a limit for him. The reason he improved, physically, he's the same cat, all right? You know what I mean?
All right, that's good.
But now, mentally, being able to key and diagnose things quicker, that's what got him better this year. So, you know, I think another year of that kind of improvement in his game, you know, just going to I mean, you got to pick six this year. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody forgets that. I mean, he actually intercepted the ball.
Our preference is right and ran it there.
Well, he wouldn't have done that as good as he did. So those types of things, understanding coverage, understand how offenses try to exploit him, and all the things with experience, I think he'll just get, you know, all of a sudden that, you know, great athletic ability, you know, gets used even more.
John, you played Tampa this year, and of course you're well familiar with Freeman over the years. A lot of people have turned on him, John, in Tampa. Fans. Mm-hmm. They want to chop him up, start all over. A couple of tough games at the end of the season. You've always talked Freeman up.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Freeman fan.
I don't know how it is. Yeah, then you do.
It's 3 years ago now. I mean, I thought he was as good as any quarterback in the South.
In 2010?
Yeah, yeah. And there were some pretty good ones.
And he was 22 years old.
And then I think he's, I guess Raheem's last year, he didn't have, their team had a bad year.
That's right.
I don't know what, usually there's some issues.
And then last year, they started off 6-4.
Right.
What do you like about him?
Well, big, strong, mobile, tough.
But we'll talk. Thanks, man. Yes, sir.
It's a lot of things.
John, this
been the most debate
that's
on
fine.
The crown of the helmet.
It's brought
up the most issues. And what are some of those in your mind? And, you know, it's been a long time. Run game, the most key.
I think, you know, really at the end of the day, I've said before, and it's, you know, they're trying to take the helmet out of the game in a sense of being a weapon. Right? They want the helmet to be used for protection. And I think the sooner all us knuckleheads come on board with that, I think the better. Right, I really do. And so, look, you know, our frustration, because, you know, our job is to win football games. And, you know, is no offense to the officials, but, you know, how it gets officiated, you know, because we've trotted down this little path with the defenseless receivers. And, you know, you're all fans as well as media, just like we're, you know, just fans as well as coaches. You know, you see some of those, you know, deficiencies in games. You know, there's a big penalty on a big hit. But I think the sooner we kind of understand that the safety overrides all that, kind of the better off the game will be.
I mean, you're worried about unintended consequences, like a goal line play, a guy going into the hole. I mean, it's supposed to be an open field deal.
Well, it's supposed to be outside.
Yeah.
Right. You know, according to the research, I think 35 plays would have come into review if this new rule had been in place a year ago.
Okay.
So 35 plays over the course of a whole season is not earth-shattering, but depending on when they happen, can be.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, that's just the nature of the game or any rules change, you know, we've ever made. So.
And a running back, though, by the same, argues that, hey, you're taking away my ability to protect myself, right?
Well, you know, again, you can lower yours. Running backs have to have the ability to lower their pad level.
Right.
Now, it is possible to lower your pad level without dropping your head, would be my counter argument. And, you know, if you played the game like maybe you didn't have a helmet on, you would do things differently.
Okay.
So, you know, so my way of saying it is more of, you know, it's for protection, not a weapon.
Right.
So hopefully that makes sense.
No.
Wonder if the stiff arm will be next.
No, they went round and round about that. Remember they had the offensive face mask.
Yeah.
You know, because running backs were just
running back
grabbing onto the face mask.
No Sean.
With their stiff arm.
No Sean's pretty good at the stiff arm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real weapon for him.
Right. And I think that's really what they're trying to say. I mean, I played rugby for years, and you know, you knew your limitations without a helmet or without pads. You know, you still hit people, right? You know, the injuries there weren't, you know, as severe as far as ACLs and those type of things. You know, it was more facial. You got concussions now because accidentally, but they were accidents. A guy knee in the head or you bang heads. You know, just like concussions are alive and well in all sports, not just football. You know, I mean, there's lacrosse guys, soccer, you're exposed. You know, that's not the sole purpose, but it's just there's accidents that happen when you're competing for a ball or you're trying to get somewhere. You know, there's collisions occur.
You think it'll pass?
I honestly do.
Because of the safety reasons?
Yes.
You got four linemen that had surgery. You got Willis. You got Noshon. You concerned at all about the health on offense?
Oh, definitely. You know, I think that was one of the big reasons for the, Louis Vasquez signing. You know, I mean, we could have hoped all those guys came back. You know what I mean? But I'm not sure, that would have been a smart thing to do. So we should have great competition there. I don't think any of those guys would be afraid of the competition. And, I'm just very hopeful that, Coop comes back healthy.
How's your progress reports on Coop,
everything,
Clady?
It's like when you ask a doc how the surgery go, not a successful surgery. They never say, really, we had a tough day today. You know what I mean? We weren't very good. We blew it in the fourth quarter.
I was a little drowsy.
Much like rehabs, we're on schedule, Coach. We're on schedule. It's kind of like our fields. We're on schedule there, too.
Do you have any concerns about Ryan's mental state after getting franchised, all that stuff?
Do
you care?
No offense. I think at the end of the day, I think Ryan wants to be here. We want Ryan here. And last time I looked, it's not like the franchise tag is going to put people in the poorhouse.
They're all signing them this year.
In fact, those guys did better than the guys on the market.
Yeah, they looked at the market and said the franchise tag looks pretty good.
Yeah,
The tag is better.
And that's no disrespect. Right. I mean, when you figure you're going to be a top five salary, I think if you pulled all the writers in America and somebody said you could sign a franchise tag as a writer, but it was guaranteed top five, I think it'd be a pretty big rush to get there too. I know it wouldn't be for me.
You talked to Manning since you signed Bolton?
Yeah. Fired up? Yeah, he's excited. It's tough for him a little bit because, he's good buddies with Stoke. You know what I mean? And Stoke did a real good job for us. So, it's back to whoever was asking before about those relationships. Players build them too. They got good buddies. And, a lot of times leaving the, moving in this league is can be tough. So, that was the downside, but I think everybody pretty excited.
But Blake got a chance to come out a little bit.
Salisbury, all these young guys, when you go through, you got practice squad, you all do these things. I mean, you get kind of locked in.
Yeah.
Like Julius Thomas, again, not the same situation, but, he got hurt, missed time, and then, everybody moves ahead. And, towards the end, even though he's having great practices and you like him, as a coach, it's hard to get him a uniform on game day. There's a guy that, virtually I don't think anybody knows about. But he's a young guy that's going to be a good player. Philip Blake is a little bit in that area, in that possibility.
He was having a pretty good camp when he got hurt, was he not?
What's that?
Blake was having a pretty good camp.
Oh, yeah. I think in the O-line might be one of the mentally tougher positions to get when you first get in.
That seems to be the redshirt position.
Yes, there's
a lot of redshirting going on up front.
Right, and it's really been going on for some time.
Yeah.
Because there are, so many calls. It is such an orchestrated thing with five guys, and truly have to be on the exact – same step.
The only thing is like those first round tackles, they got to play right away.
Right.
Your quarterback likes to do a couple things.
Well, that's the thing that makes it even more complicated. I try to explain to people, when you're a no huddle offense, it's not like you're calling one play in the huddle, you got to remember it from there to up there and then just run it. Yeah. There's some plays and some people that do it that way. But then, if you're not huddling and you're just going to the line and you can call one of 10 plays.
Yeah.
To hear it, to memorize it, to execute it, multiplies by 10.
Already said it.
No, they can't go quite that fast. All right, because they don't know it that well yet.
Still in their stance trying to figure out the play.
You've said you want to go fast.
Yes.
Adam said he wanted to go even faster.
Yeah. Well, the thing that happens is if you try to get into the perfect play all the time, sometimes you take longer. At the line of scrimmage.
I was going to say, can Peyton go fast?
Sometimes you just need to, you know, run or pass, just run it quickly, and then, you know, that's when defenses screw up.
Yeah, because Peyton, he likes to look, you know.
Yeah.
He's not a one-word snap type of guy like you faced against New England.
And we just got to develop that a little bit better. You know, there's always things. I mean, you know, hey, Peyton likes to get coached too. I mean, he wants to get better. And there's things he can improve at. So,
people seem surprised by that.
Huh?
When you say that, people seem surprised by that in the general.
No, it's real. You know, I mean, look, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about that. And he's had a lot of success, and, you know, so that's hard to change them when they know something works. But, you know, the game changes, the game evolves, and, you know, I mean, he does as much research how people are practicing. You know, when we were at the Pro Bowl, shoot, it was like quiz time, you know, with all the other players, all the other coaches. Now, we kind of do that every year anyways, but you're always trying to learn and grow. And, you know, and he's the same way. He's always looking for an edge.